to the lost souls, the disintegrated spirits, the wanderers, the dreamers, and the seekers. Welcome to the Embodied Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Danielle McGinnis. Our work in this podcast will be to foster healing, transformation, self-expression, creativity, and the development of consciousness. So with our intentions grounded firmly, let's settle in and do some integration work. Hi friends, happy Sunday, and welcome back to another episode of the Embodied Podcast. If you guys want to learn more or interact with me and the work that I do in this world, you can find me on Instagram at Dr. Danielle McGinnis or on my website, drdaniellemcginnis.com. And as in every episode, I like to take time and space to say thank you to those of you who have rated and reviewed the podcast. It is definitely the greatest way to grow the show. So if you want to drop a 5-star review or tag me in a share, I would really appreciate it. Before we get into today's podcast, I just want to mention, because we have about 7 days before my October cohort of The Next Born to Heal launches, and I'm so excited. And honestly, let's face it, 2020 has been a massive shit show, but I believe that the greatest collective call to adventure, the call for healing and growth, is really needed now more than ever. And the patterns of the collective wounding is being mirrored to us so heavily that it's just overwhelming to even be an adult in 2020. But now I feel like the time that healing the individual is exactly what is being asked of us to heal the collective as a whole. And so Born to Heal is my 12-week course focused on really transforming suffering into meaning and really guiding you through your journey of reclamation and rebirth. And so if you're interested in that, you can find links to all of the course details and how to apply for the course in the show notes. So on to the show. So if you're listening to this on Sunday, it is my 29th birthday today. So I figured that I would kind of talk through the lessons that I've learned over this past year, because they have been really numerous and sometimes not the most comfortable, but I do truly feel like I've grown the most that I've ever grown in this past year. And so looking back on the past year, it really started with all of the work that I invested in myself in 2019. And, you know, thinking back to when I did Rick's Clarity Academy, that was kind of like the first little investment. But I really feel like, you know, in October, Rick and I went to Sedona. I actually hired my first mentor in Sedona. And so I've been working with her over the past 12 months. And so that work in itself has just been really, really transformational for me. And when we were at Sedona, I actually got to experience a breathwork ceremony, which was like, it was a shaman breathwork ceremony. And in that ceremony, I had this visualization that I was standing at the top of a cliff, and it was all white, so it almost looked like clouds, and it was like the 8-year-old version of me standing, looking out into the clouds, and my mom was standing behind me, kind of in my peripheral vision. And I turned around and I reached for my mom, and she had kind of pushed me to go the other direction. And that was my visualization in Sedona that really, I think, catalyzed a lot of the growth that I had made over the last year. And so that really moved me into a space of looking at the ways that I was still living in childhood dependency. And so I'll talk about that a little bit later, but as the rest of 2019 was kind of wrapping up. So 2019 was the year that I dedicated myself to healing a lot of toxic self-sabotaging patterns. And in that year, it was very transformative. I left a previous business that I was a part of. I started my own business. And then in December, I launched Born to Heal for the first time. I put it out into the world. And so Born to Heal is all of the deep healing work that had helped me work through my wounding up until that point. And so that was a really big step for me over the past year, because before launching that course and doing the thing, I had this inner narrative of who am I to do that? And it wasn't until I actually put my first cohort through the Born to Heal curriculum that I realized, like, this is why you are here on this planet. Like, this is it. Like, it was really the story of the wounded healer, like using all of your experiences and your knowledge and your wisdom to help guide people through suffering. And it's interesting because I've been telling Rick for a long time that I feel like I went into the wrong realm of therapy. So I graduated last year with my doctorate in physical therapy. And interestingly enough, this year I stepped away from clinical practice to really pursue embodiment coaching and really stepping in towards the path of depth psychology. And so launching that course really let me step into, well, take a baby step into my voice in 2020. And so that was really where 2020 started. The intention of 2019 was healing, and 2020 was really stepping into all of the wisdom that I had learned over the past 3 to 5 years. And so going into January, Rick and I moved across the country from Charlotte to Denver, Colorado. And that month was really hard for both of us. Rick ended up losing one of his best friends to cancer. And so there was a lot of not only just physical death that we were both kind of facing, but a lot of metaphorical deaths within ourselves. Rick had gone to Costa Rica and did ayahuasca. And so in that trip, I did not go to that trip, but I stayed home, and it was right after we moved, and I had a breakthrough with my inner child. I realized that I was just so scared to be alone. And what that Costa Rica trip, what I learned from that trip was that he may come back a different person. And for me to truly step forth into unconditional love, I had to face the parts of me that was trying to manipulate him to stay just for me. And so I had to face, while he was on that trip, the fact that he was going to come back a different person. And so with that, I read this quote. It's like, you know, being in a relationship is like attending 1,000 funerals of the person that you used to date. And that is the most true thing, at least for Rick and I's relationship, because I feel like we went through a lot of death in January, and facing death really helped me gain some strength within myself to not show up in my relationship container in this unconditional way, or in this conditional way, sorry. It helped me show up unconditionally, and it helped me realize that I can be present, and if I just consciously show up and choose him every day and do the best that I possibly can and be present with him in my highest capacity, if he chooses to leave, it says nothing about who I am as a person. And so there was a lot of rejection and abandonment within my inner child that had been healed through a lot of the first half of the year. And that was healed within my relationship. And so I'm just so grateful for my relationship container and the space that it gives me to evolve and grow. And the mirror that it gives me to look at myself so that I can evolve and grow. I started the beginning of 2020, I started the Alpha Femme Ghost Live series, where I was interviewing a lot of people that I thought that I'd never had a chance to even speak to. And so for me, you know, if my intention was to step into my voice, this was doing it. This was embodying that. And so I was having interviews with people that I didn't, these were the people that inspired me on my healing journey, like Mark Groves and Alexander Solomon and, you know, Kelsey Grant, a lot of people that I never thought that I would have a chance to have a conversation with. And I was just really honored to explore myself through those conversations. And so that was a really big step into my voice. And eventually now here we are on the Embodied Podcast. So 2020 definitely was a year of stepping into my voice, but that didn't come with a lot of sacrifice on my part. So the sacrifice on my part was definitely the fears that I had around, you know, the things where it's like, who am I to say this? You're not qualified enough to say this. Someone else can say it better than you can. And so I had this big realization that I developed this narrative early in my childhood that my choice and my voice doesn't matter. And so by stepping into these challenging arenas for me has really helped heal that inner narrative of my voice doesn't matter. And when I do these podcasts and I put anything out into the world, I really deeply try to focus on how this is a contribution into the world and how I can share impact to others, guide others, mirror to others. And I really try to take my gain out of it. And so if I hold excessive expectation, my voice always feels compressed. And so for me, I have to sacrifice the validation and the acceptance of other people hearing my voice, because sometimes people just will not have capacity to handle what you need to say into the world. But that doesn't mean that your voice doesn't matter and that your choice to say it doesn't matter as well. And so another thing that had happened over this past year was I really had a breakthrough with my personal struggle with my body image. I threw myself into doing a half Ironman, and honestly, looking back, I think I just did it because we were going into this very unknown, stressful time, and it gave me something to focus on, and it gave me an aim, and it gave me something to do. But I didn't choose to do the Ironman to change my whole relationship to my body, but that's what happened in the process. And so throughout this process, it was six or seven months that I had been training for the half Ironman that was supposed to take place in August in Boulder, and I found out about a month before the race that it was canceled. And I really wasn't even that devastated about it being canceled. I was so proud of myself for the effort that I put forth going into a new arena that I previously knew nothing about. I was never been in the endurance space. So it was a really courageous step into the unknown for me, but the more courageous thing for me was watching how my body shifted and changed throughout that training process. And I vowed that if I was going to do this Ironman, I was going to do it right. And doing it right for me was making sure I had all the support and guidance so that I wasn't performing my way into sabotage. Because I can perform and I can be a really good athlete, but I don't want it to be at the expense of my health and my well-being and my psychological well-being. And so I hired a coach, I hired a nutrition coach. Like, I had support and guidance the whole way, and I can look back and I can say that I did every single piece of that training process to 100% the best of my ability. And in that process, my body did change. And with that, I had to look at myself every single day in the mirror as my body shifted and changed and ask myself, will you still love yourself if your body image is changing? If your external appearance is changing, can you still show up for yourself and be unconditionally accepting and loving for yourself? And I did. And, you know, I had moments where I broke down. I remember laying, I was in the middle of a yoga session and I was laying on my living room floor and I just broke down crying. And I was so upset because all of the poor modeling, the poor body image that was shown to me over the years was coming to the surface. And I realized that I had to be the adult that would be compassionate for myself and show up for myself. And so in that moment, I took responsibility for healing that part of myself. And it was really powerful, very, very uncomfortable, but really powerful. And so I would say that, you know, training for the half Ironman, yeah, it was an adventure, but going on that adventure to heal the psychology around my body image was completely life-changing. And in that process, I quit posting my workout videos to Instagram. And so that's how I really had built my whole Instagram platform, was posting workouts. But I realized that in that, as consciously as I possibly could, I was separating myself from needing validation from other people. But I also wasn't choosing myself, because that wasn't what lit my soul on fire. That wasn't the type of content that I wanted to put out into the world. That was subjugating my voice to an external appearance. And it was really putting my voice underneath what I look like on the outside. And it was so frustrating to see people demean, it felt like, my intelligence and my voice to just a skin suit. And so I made the choice to step away. And with that, I think over the past 3 months, I've probably lost 5,000 followers. And that's okay, because I am choosing myself now. And it is a path that is hard. The path of truth is a really hard path to walk. But it's also one that's really fulfilling, because I have applied and got accepted. So I'm in a PhD program for depth psychology right now. So like I said earlier, I chose to step away from clinical physical therapy practice because I realized that that profession wasn't mine. I didn't want to be a physical therapist. And I was trying to put myself in a box that was surrounded by value systems that didn't agree with me. You know, the medical model, you know, slapping a diagnosis on a patient and calling that care is not human to me. And so I couldn't work in a system that did not acknowledge the human. And of course, I think positive things are happening in that realm, but I didn't think it was my space to be the change maker in that space. And so I decided to step away and really pursue and invest my time and money into a path that really felt true to me. And that's depth psychology. So I'm really excited to be pursuing this path in depth psychology. And as I've been doing that, I have invested in my own business coach. It was a very high dollar investment for me, but what that meant for me was that I believe in this business so much, and I believe in myself so much, and I believe in my impact and my voice so much, that I want to create the systems so that I can actually put it out into the world. And so coming back to healing this kind of feminine mother wound, this year was really interesting, because I feel like for the first half of the year, I really realized how much I had rejected the feminine energy in my life. And I feel like I wasn't quite modeled a good feminine presence, because as amazing and as loving as my mom is, she also embodies the people-pleasing, codependent traits that I was embodying. And so I had to realize that it was my place to stop that generational wound. I had to start to reclaim the feminine in my life. And so what that looks like is really holding more space to receive, to ask for help, to really stay grounded in my emotions and let the emotions wash over me and let them exist not only in myself, but holding space for the emotions to wash over Rick and let him be in his feminine and not being pulled out of that feminine when he is in that space. Really, when I was healing that feminine wounding, I felt the desire to really dive inwards. And so from April to August, I really laid low in my business. Obviously, COVID happened. And so there was a lot of fear and scarcity going on in the universe. And I just made a vow to myself that I was not going to make decisions out of fear and scarcity. I was going to really try to embrace the feminine of the unknown. I was going to sit in this darkness, in this chaos, and I was going to receive the guidance and the message that I needed to move forward. And so in that space, when it came time around August, I was feeling like, okay, I've received, like I really felt like I got a lot from that time. And in that space, coming out of that space was a lot harder, because now it's trying to not embody the masculine traits of just being the superstar achiever, but actually stepping towards my path in a way that I can stay grounded in my feminine, but also devoted to my path and devoted to my voice and putting my voice out into the world. And so I was using that down and in feminine energy to really try to practice this up and out energy. And I got to the point where honestly, I just needed help because I didn't know how to do it. And so that's when I invested in my business coach. And the rest is history. Now we are here. I feel like this year has been, like I said, one of the most impactful years of my life. I got engaged, and that was a really big step for me too, because I feel like this year is bringing up all of the areas in which my inner child needed to grow up. And I was telling my mom this, that when Rick proposed to me, it felt like the universe had taken a big hand and just slapped me across the face and said, like, no, you're going to grow up now. And so approaching this engagement as consciously as I possibly can, it's brought up so many limiting beliefs around marriage and what a conscious partnership truly means. And Rick and I both have had to wrestle with what it means for this type of commitment. But I do feel like any time that you are asking for more from the universe, you're going to have to sacrifice something that you're holding on to. You're going to have to let go of, whether that's a belief, a relationship, a job, whatever it may be. You're going to have to release something to create space for that new version of you to exist in this commitment, this new commitment. And so stepping into this higher commitment with my fiance, I had to let go of these childhood fears around what a marriage container was modeled as to me. And so with that, I am moving forward for the rest of the year, just really asking myself, like, what is life asking of me right now? And really giving myself the grace to be flexible enough to receive that and not push against that, because typically when I push back, the universe comes back tenfold and slaps me in the face and said, no, we need you to listen to this. And so I feel like over this past year especially, I've really allowed myself the space to sit, receive, and discern what is mine and what is not mine, and have the courage and the capacity to choose the life that I want to live moving forward. And I think, you know, turning 29, yeah, maybe it's not that big of a deal. You know, it's a weird year or whatever, but I do feel like this year was the year that it was the first year that I have lived as an adult in this world. And, you know, we could shame ourselves and say like, oh, you're 28 years old and you still haven't grown up. But if you ask yourself if there's areas of your life where you're not choosing to grow up, if you're choosing to stay in these childhood wounding patterns, start to look at that, because those are the areas that really keep you one-sided. They keep you in a smaller version of yourself, in a more fearful version of yourself. And so if you could dialogue with that part of you and ask what it needs, a lot of times it just needs presence, acceptance, and some compassion. And so moving forward for the rest of 2020, that is my intention. Presence, receiving, compassion, and grace. And I think that's something that we all could use a little bit more of. So that's been my year. I hope that you guys have an amazing day. We will talk on Thursday. Bye, guys. We'll be right back.